Back on Downtown, Rich Kimball, Carrie Haskell with you, continuing our salute to the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Celebrates its 50th anniversary next month. And to help talk about that with us, we're joined by our friend who played Marie Slaughter, Murray's wife, on the show for several seasons. Actress Joyce Bolifond with us. Joyce, so good to have you back.
Well, you're welcome. At last, we got it together.
So you're not rafting. You're not in the mountains today. I'm sorry. I hope this isn't the highlight of your day.
No, well, it is. Absolutely the highlight of my day.
Oh, well, I'm very glad to hear that. So how have you been managing during this quarantine?
Well, I've been very lucky. When I was at home in the desert, my son John, who lives in L.A., came to stay with me. And he's an actor, director, writer. And, of course, there was no work. So he said, I'm going to come be with you. And I said, great. And he also went to culinary school, so he'd have something to fall back on, being in the arts. And I just had the most delicious gourmet dinners any mother could have.
Well, not only that, but you made some wonderful videos with him, too.
Those very silly videos, they were fun. That was at the beginning of the whole thing, when we thought, you know, this will be over in a couple of months, and fine, let's do this. And then people kept saying, where are your videos? Where are your videos? And it was like, oh, we're a little tired of that. John's busy writing scripts, and I left for the mountains of Colorado where it's cooler, and I have two other children here and grandchildren.
Well, that's wonderful.
So I've been really very blessed and very lucky, and everyone in the family is well and taking precautions and doing everything we've been told to do.
Well, we're glad to hear that. Well, I wanted to talk with you today about the Mary Tyler Moore Show as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the program, and you joined very early on in the show, but you were pretty busy at the time doing stage work and TV and movies, but they managed to, it seemed, to work around your schedule.
They did, except for one time they called and said, we need you for a table reading. You're in this week's show. And I said, well, I'm having another show. I'm at St. John's Hospital having a baby.
But they had written your pregnancy into the series.
They did, yes. I was very pregnant in one of the shows.
What was the atmosphere like on that show? It seemed like a pretty close-knit group of not just actors, but writers, directors, and everybody involved.
Well, I think everyone respected the writers so much, because we'd come in for a table reading, and everybody would be laughing. It'd be a wonderful script, but they didn't stop. They kept polishing and polishing to the last moment, and that's what made the show so wonderful. You can have the best actors in the world, but who is it who said the play's the thing? and it's true. I mean, you really have to have a good script, and they were dedicated writers.
Well, and so many of them were women as well, which gave a perspective that you didn't get in other shows during that time.
That's true. Very true.
What was it like working with Mary? She was obviously wearing a couple of hats as the star of the show, but also in many ways the boss. But it seemed like she was very generous in making sure that, at least as an actor, she was part of the ensemble.
Oh, absolutely. She didn't act like the boss. No, she was very good and very conscientious about people, you know, feeling comfortable. And it was different for me, because I would leave, and, you know, when you leave a show and you come back and you leave when you're a reoccurring character, each time you come back, it's like restarting a friendship all over again. But with this group, I always felt very welcome, and it was like coming home. It was great.
And Gavin McLeod, I told you we had a chance to talk with him recently. My gosh, what a wonderful man. What was the experience like working with him in your scenes?
Well, I'll tell you, he's just the dearest person you ever want to meet. and his wife Patty too. And luckily, we ended up living almost next door to each other in the desert. And so our friendship has carried on for a long, long time. And we've done shows in the desert to raise money for different organizations. And he's just the most giving man. I can't tell you. I'm not going to say I don't think. I know. I have never heard that man say an unkind thing about anyone or any project that anyone has worked on has come to fruition. He always praises it. It could be the worst damn work in the world, but he would find something great to say about it.
We're talking with Joyce Bulifant here on Downtown. One of my favorite episodes that features Marie is the episode called "A Son for Murray," when there was some disagreement in the Slaughter family.
Yes, there were. He wanted me to get pregnant again, and I'd already been pregnant a lot, and I was very upset about it. And what was wonderful is that we ended up adopting a child, and it was that particular episode won all kinds of awards. And is that the one that Helen Hunt played my daughter? I don't think so. That was another
one. That was another one.
That was her first show. Yeah. Right. But I love this show and the message that it had for everyone, because there's so many children out there who need a family. And we really don't need to populate this world anymore. I don't think we're maybe that's what this plague is all about. I don't know. But I just think it was a great message about being able to reach out and love a child that didn't have a family.
Did you have a favorite episode that you were in?
I did, and I think it may have been when I thought he was gambling. I'm not sure, but I remember, I love the scene where I'm crying. I'm in Lou Grant's office. And I'm sobbing on Mary's shoulder, and she takes my head and puts it over onto Lou Grant's shoulder, and I'm still sobbing, and he takes my head and put it back on Mary's shoulder. I just thought it was a very funny scene.
Yeah, when we talked with Gavin about the episode where he had taken a second job working at night so he could buy you a present.
That's right, and I thought he was having an affair with Mary. But you know what's terrible is when I couldn't do shows, and he would show up and they'd have to make some excuse I was home with the children. And that's because I was doing so many other shows in between. And then I found out in one show that he had a crush on Mary. And I tell you, as Marie and as Joyce, I got my feelings hurt. What the heck is this? Why are they writing that? I don't like that.
Well, he's such a great person. I was trying to remember the story from your book. I think it was when you had the fire at your home that that he showed up with hot dogs for
everybody. Oh, hot dogs, yes. Well, actually, it wasn't a fire. It was a terrible earthquake.
That's right. That's
and
right.
That, yeah, it was a 7.1 or 2 earthquake right after John, my youngest son, had been born. He was born in January, and that happened in January, a few weeks later. And he was so worried about us, he came with hot dogs from Mason's. He now has a new favorite hot dog, and that is Eisenberg hot dogs, because we have a friend named Phyllis Eisenberg, and she owned Eisenberg hot dogs, and boy, they're really good. They serve them in movie theaters. You can't buy them at the store, but be sure to get one when you go to the movies.
I look forward to doing that again.
To do that.
Yes.
You ever get to do that again.
Exactly. Joyce, why do you think...
How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing well. You know, I teach school full-time when I'm not on the radio, so we're...
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we're trying to figure out what that's going to look like in a few weeks' time. It's a little scary.
I know. Now, where are you?
I'm in Maine.
in Maine.
And our numbers are very low here, where we've done very well, but it's also the middle of tourist season, so people are here from all over the country, and we're hoping they didn't bring anything with them.
Oh, I know what you mean. It's the same thing in Colorado, where I am. You see all Texas and Oregon license plates in Florida, and you wouldn't go, go away, go away.
It's a strange time indeed.
What do you teach, Rich?
I teach history and civics, American government.
Oh, you know what my history teacher wrote on my report card? Joyce has a mind like a sieve. I remember going to my mother and saying, what's a sieve? She said, well, that's something you pour in something and it comes right out. I said, oh, thank you.
I also
I work a lot with dyslexic children.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I work with high school theater kids as well, so I love that part of it. But
good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
I don't know how we'll do that this fall. We're hoping to figure out how to do something.
I know. I just saw a Zoom presentation by the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. I have two young friends that are going there. And they did the importance of being earnest on Zoom, and it was spectacular. I couldn't believe what a good job they did.
That sounds great. Yeah, we were just watching the other night, a friend of the show, Stephen Tobolowsky, and his wife, Ann Hearn, did a Zoom play the other night, a brand new play through the Road Theater in Los Angeles, and it was wonderful online.
It's amazing what they can do. I mean, I can imagine looking right at a camera and not having another human being to relate to.
Have you ever in your stage work, this has happened to everybody, but I was talking about it with a friend the other day, been in that situation where your scene partner has gone up on their lines and has no idea where they are, and you've got to try and guide them back home?
Have I ever had that experience? I had it with two actors. I'm even going to tell you who they were. Keir DeLay had a very difficult time learning lines in a play that we did by Larry Roman, a wonderful play called Crystal, Crystal, Chandelier. We did it at the Burt Reynolds Theater, and we're hoping for it to go on to New York. But Keir had a really hard time. And in one scene, I'm playing a prostitute who wants to be cured, and he's my doctor, and I've fallen in love with him, and he's irritated. And he comes to the apartment, and I say something to him, and he looks at me, and he says, I am not your honey, and I am not your bagel. I'm your doctor instead of your baby. Well, it's very hard not to laugh at those moments. And the other was Gary Collins. I was doing a new two-character play that my friend A.J. Carruthers wrote, and we were doing it at a very prestigious theater in Virginia. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the play, he looked at me and he said, I don't even know why I'm here. And my eyes crossed, and I gave him the plot of the play. I said, well, I think you wanted to meet with me because you don't want the divorce. Oh, Lord.
I was doing a summer theater, repertory theater, many years ago, and we had an actor who would drop lines once in a while, but we were doing a Commedia dell'arte show, and everything else we were doing that summer was Shakespeare, and in the middle of the Commedia piece, he came up with a line from one of the Shakespeare shows, and I thought, well, okay, he has the line, it's just from the wrong show, what will I do? And I played along and said my line and hope the audience didn't notice.
I just love those moments. I mean, it's so fun when you get theater people together and you talk about those theater moments. I remember talking about Shakespeare. An actor went up on his line. Where do they pour poison in his ear? Is that Macbeth?
Oh, I think so.
So he tried to ad-lib Shakespeare, and he said, what is this I have here? I'll pour some poison in her ear.
Well, Well, he made it rhyme. That's wonderful.
Yes. Very hard to ad-lib Shakespeare.
we were doing an outdoor Shakespeare, and a train came through in the middle of a show, close enough to the stage that we had to stop the show. And I think it was two gentlemen of Verona, and one of the actors said, "Oh, I believe that's the 1120 from Verona. We'll pause here."
I love it. A play with Tallulah Bankhead with her portrait was over the fireplace, and two men, the curtain opens, and two men are having a brandy and leaning against the mantel where the beautiful portrait is. And the actor said his first line was, "Her breath would take your beauty away." Curtain.
And scene.
Job, yes. In scene. The theater, I mean, live theater is the best.
Absolutely. Can't wait to get back to it again. Joyce, it's wonderful to talk with you as always. Thank you so much for making some time for us this afternoon. You stay safe and be well out there in Colorado, and we'll catch up with you again soon, I hope.
Okay, Rick. Thank you so much for having me. And don't forget to read my book. Oh, you read it.
I read your book.
My Hollywood Husband. Oh, it's really selling. I can't believe it.
Well, it should. It's a wonderful book. It's a very uplifting book and a great message. And so, yeah, everybody ought to read it.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for inviting me on today.